When Luke begins this gospel passage by identifying John the Baptist in the desert, he dates him in the traditional way. So-and-so was emperor, these were the tetrarchs, these were the governors, these were the chief priests. In other words, it was a kind of a traditional way of dating the event. But there's another thing that Luke is saying here. You have all these significant, important people, the emperor, the governor, the tetrarchs, the chief priests, and the word of God didn't come to any of them, but to John, this strange guy wearing camel skins out in the desert. And isn't that the way of it? God so often speaks not to the so-called significant people, but to the ordinary. Many of the saints in the church's tradition were ordinary people, and God somehow spoke to them. So, what is the insight that John has that Luke wants to point out to us? I think it's this. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That somehow our openness to God's word has to come through repentance and forgiveness of sins. So repentance is the English translation of the Greek word metanoia. And metanoia means a change of mind. Nous or noia is a mind. And meta would be a transferal, a turning around, a change. But it can also mean a kind of a rising above the mind. One of the insights that John seems to have had, we can put in modern psychological language, and I don't think that John would have said it the way I'm going to say it, but it's the same thing. And that is, we are steeped in sin. And the mind works in a particular way. It has a tendency to cling to the negative more powerfully than it clings to the neutral or the positive. And we would even say that maybe it has a kind of a chemical effect. I read somewhere a year or so ago that one of the problems with pornography is that after viewing it time and again, it actually changes the chemical makeup of the mind's processes so that it becomes like an addiction and it desires more. Well, sin is kind of like that. The mind clings to it and holds on for dear life. So that's why we have a hard time forgiving the things that have been done against us. We remember the things from childhood or maybe even a year ago or maybe even last week. The harm, the sin that has been done against us. But we're also just as conscious of the retaliation that we have done and the sins that we have visited upon other people. And so our mental identity becomes more and more entrenched in this negative, in this awareness of our sin. And it creates in us a kind of a sense of unworthiness. It's a blockage, you might say. It creates a mountain between us and God's coming. One of the things that Luke is going to go on to say in the next few verses is that Jesus then gets baptized in the Jordan by John. And after Jesus' baptism, there's a voice from above that says to him, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." Because Jesus isn't locked in sin, because Jesus has a strong identity of himself as son and heir, he hears the voice. God is forever saying to you and me, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." But our ears are blocked. There's a mountain between us and that voice. So, the problem is the way the mind works. How do we rise above that? Well, the first step is knowing it. knowing what the problem is. That's the first step. And that's a big leg up, to know how it works. And the second thing is to learn to trust in God's forgiveness. The scriptures, the church's tradition, the liturgy, they all tell us over and over again in so many different ways, God's mercy is endless. And there is nothing that God cannot forgive. And so if we begin to trust in that, we level out the mountains between us and that voice. We raise up the crags and the gorges of our sin. And we straighten out the winding roads. So when John is a voice crying out in the desert, make straight the path for the Lord, I think that's what he means. Repent. Rise above this mental activity. Control it. Let go of it. Don't let it control you. You control it. And how do you do that? Through grace, through learning to trust in the Lord's promise of redemption, to trust in the endless mercy of God, so that you don't have to hang on to those things, that doesn't have to identify you, it doesn't have to form you, it doesn't have to trap you. Well, easier said than done. We're all on a journey. We're all getting there. But it's good for us to hear that from time to time. And isn't that why we're hearing these scriptures over and over again? Isn't that why we go through the church year, the season of Advent, for example, that is so much about the Lord's coming? The Latin word adventus is where we get this, which means arrival. And it's the arrival of the Lord. It's his coming. But we have blockages to that coming. It isn't that God doesn't want to come to us. God has been coming to us since before the world began, and nothing can change God's attitude. But whether we hear it or not, whether we receive that love and mercy or not, that's up to us. And so we hear it in the Eucharist, we eat it and we drink it. Sunday after Sunday, we hear the word with our ears and eventually with our hearts, and gradually we get transformed by it. We begin to let go of the grudges. We begin to let go of the things that we have done, just like God has let go of them. God is not holding on to them. Why are we? And gradually, ever so perceptibly even, we begin to hear the voice of God telling us that we are beloved. To hear, like Jesus, that we are children, heirs of the kingdom.